بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 12th of April in the year 2024 and alhamdulillah we've completed the 10th week the 70th night that we're going through the illustrious and blessed life of the noble companion, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu. And I've mentioned a few blessed reports in which very informative incidents took place in his stay in Egypt. And yesterday, the last thing I mentioned was the famous incident in which Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu, had given a letter to Sayyidina Amr to throw into the river Nile. And by the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Nile started to overflow. I should have mentioned that if you look at the report, it mentions that Umar radiallahu anhu said that if this is the shaitan's handiwork, obey me, do not obey him. So what did he mean by that, Amir al-Mu'mineen? So the scholars, they point out that wherever evil takes place, shaitan has strength. So when they were throwing a virgin, offering a human sacrifice to the river Nile, obviously shaitan's effect was strong there. So he was somehow manipulating the Nile, if that was the case. And this is why you'll notice where all of the evil activities take place, that's where the shayateen are very strong. People get possessed, and people become ill, etc., etc. So that was one thing pointed out there. But with Umar radiallahu anhu's letter thrown into the Nile, it nullified this. And then I mentioned that Umar radiallahu anhu, he was one of the muhaddath, one of the divinely inspired, or whom through the angels communicate, man of this ummah. So now, there's a report. This phenomena of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, it was alluded to by our beloved messenger many times, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for instance, Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever hates Umar radiallahu anhu, then hates me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whoever loves Umar radiallahu anhu, then in reality loves me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he boasts of the people on the eve of Arafat in general, but of Umar radiallahu anhu in particular. Subhanallah. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to a nation, he also had a spokesman amongst his people. Thus, if there is one amongst my ummah, it is Umar radiallahu anhu. They asked, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is a muhaddath? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he is the mouthpiece of the angels, alayhi salatu wa sallam. So this is recorded in Tabarani, Ibn Asakir, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'id, volume 9, page 69, comments upon the chain of narrators, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 441 of the New English Translation. So in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was showing the great status of Sayyidina Umar. And obviously only a believer would love him, and only a person with, you know, a wretched inner would have hated for him. So the Prophet summed it up by saying, whoever loves him loves me, whoever hates him hates me. But then he mentioned something which is very interesting, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, Allah the Almighty boasts of the people on the eve of Arafat in general. So this is a very famous report where Allah the Almighty in glories when he sees the Hajis at Arafat, he's proud of them. He shows pleasure, and you know, and he goes, look at my servants who are disheveled. And the report continues. But here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but he boasts of Umar in particular. Look how interesting. Why was Umar singled out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then he said, he is the muhaddath. When they inquired, he goes, meaning the mouthpiece of the angels. So now, Imam Razi, he added something here which is very important to clarify. So in his Tafsir Kabir, volume 5, page 408, Imam Razi, he's commenting upon this very famous hadith in Sahih Bukhari, where Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, when I love a servant, I become his hearing with which he hears, his sight with which he sees, his hands with which he grasps, and his feet with which he walks. So this is a very famous report mentioned in Sahih Bukhari. So Imam Razi, he explained, Rahmatullah Alayh, the one who is thus persistent in obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually reaches that lofty state, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that he becomes his hearing and sight. So the first thing Imam Razi said, Rahmatullah Alayh, this is a maqam open to all of us. So how do you get to be of such a maqam where Allah ta'ala, he says, I become his hearing and sight? You are persistent in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Imam Razi said, Rahmatullah Alayh, thus when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sublime light becomes his hearing, then he possesses the ability to hear voices from far and near. Karamat. As that light becomes the servant's sight, it allows the servant to view things from far as well as near. Ayy karamat. When the sublime light becomes his hands, the servant is then able to deal conclusively with all matters, regardless of whether they seem difficult or easy, and regardless of whether they are dealt with from a distance or proximity. SubhanAllah. So here Imam Razi is explaining. So obviously we don't believe that Allah Ta'ala indwells a person, a'udhu billah. We don't believe in incarnation, whatever the word is. So what does it mean when Allah Ta'ala says, when I love a servant, I become his hearing, with which he hears, his sight, etc., etc. So Imam Razi says, this is talking about a servant who is so obedient, so persistent, that literally Allah Ta'ala starts using him. And his hearing, he starts being given gifts. He starts hearing things from far. So example of this, again, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was doing a Friday sermon, and all of a sudden he said, Sadia, you're back to the mountain. Sadia, you're back to the mountain. And then he continued with his Jummah khutbah. When the people later inquired, he goes, if I said that, I said that. And then later, a companion was sent to do jihad, and he came back, and he goes, Amir al-Mu'mineen, were you with us? He goes, of course not. He goes, the enemy was about to entrap us. We heard your voice saying, Sadia, you're back to the mountain. Don't let them entrap you. And with that, alhamdulillah, we defeated them. So how do you explain that? How did his voice carry all the way to the land in Persia? And they heard it. So Imam Razi says that when Allah Ta'ala's light becomes his hearing, he possesses the ability to hear voices from far and near. When the servant's light, sight, it allows the servant to view things from far as well as near. And his hands exactly the same. So Sayyidina Umar was a classic example of this radiallahu anhu. And of course, this explains partially the awliya ikram, these karamas that they possess. And it's obviously with the permission of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of that is helping to explain how or why Umar is talking to the river Nile radiallahu anhu. So another interesting thing which occurred in Egypt, entitled The Blessed Base of the Muqattam Mountain. So Layth ibn Sa'd, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, Muqawqis, i.e. the once viceroy of Egypt, he asked Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu anhu, to sell him the foot of the Muqattam mountain for 70,000 dinars. So obviously Muqawqis, he's been displaced, he's been banished by Heraclius, which you mentioned. But nevertheless, he's gone in contact with Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, and he's asked him, he goes, the base of this mountain, the foot of the Muqattam mountain, I will give you 70,000 gold coins. Sell it to me. Surprised at the high offer, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, informed him that I will first have to write to Amir al-Mu'mineen about this. So Amr detected something, because there's something here that he's not telling me. So I'm going to write to Amir al-Mu'mineen to see what's happening. So he wrote the letter. When the letter reached Umar radiallahu anhu, he rode back. Ask him why he wants to pay so much when the land cannot be cultivated, no water can be extracted from it, and it is apparently of no benefit. So, question, how did Umar know that? Has he been to Egypt? He's describing that base of the mountain as if he's seen it. So again, we can explain partially, maybe it's that karamat again, or you could say it was given to him through natural means. But he says, why is he wanting to buy this? You can't cultivate this land. Water, there's no water there, and there's no benefit. When Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu inquired from Muqawqis, Muqawqis replied, our scriptures have informed us that a tree of paradise grows at that place. So obviously he's referring to the Bible. He goes, in our scripture, it mentions there is a tree of paradise itself that grows there. Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu, he then wrote back to Sayyidina Umar about this. And Umar radiyallahu, he in turn sent the following reply. As far as we are concerned, the tree of paradise are reserved for the believers. Thus, you should now bury the Muslims with you at that place. I make it into a cemetery, and you should not sell it to him. So this is recorded in Ibn Abdul Hakam in his Futuhul Misr, Kanz al-Umal, volume 3, page 152, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 332 of the New English Translation. So Muqawqis, like I mentioned, the word Caucasian comes from that. They were racist. They looked down upon those who were dark-skinned. So he said to Amr, the reason I want to buy this is because it's a tree of paradise grows there. So when this news was reached to Umar, he said something which shows, you know, our connection. He goes, if it is a tree of paradise, then it's for the believers. He goes, bury the Muslims with you at that place. Now look how interesting. He didn't just say, honor that place. He goes, convert it into a cemetery. Mm-hmm. Make it into a Muslim graveyard. And you must not sell it to him. Adding to this, in Ibn Asakir, Sufyan Ibn Wahab Khawlam, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, I was once passing by the site of Mount Muqattam in Egypt with Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu anhu, upon observing the base, he inquired why the tracks of Egypt were so barren, unlike the tracks of the hills of Sham. So what happened? So Amr radiyallahu anhu, he's noticing Egypt isn't really that fertile, especially certain parts. And obviously, the foot of Mount Muqattam was completely barren. So he asked somebody, he goes, why is that? Why is it not like Sham? The person being addressed, he pleaded ignorance. He said, I don't really know. But then he said, I know something else, which would be of far more concern to you. Namely, the people buried under this mountain Muqattam would be free of reckoning on the Day of Judgment. Hearing this, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu, he thereupon supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include him amongst those people who would be buried there. Indeed, subhanallah, I later saw with my very own eyes, said Sufyan rahmatullah alayh, the graves of Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As, Sayyidina Abu Basra Ghifari, and Sayyidina Uqba ibn Amr radiyallahu ta'ala anhum at the foot of Mount Muqattam. Subhanallah. So now let's look at this. So did this incident take place after Umar had told him or before? So it doesn't really matter. Amr was known for his, you know, his slyness. So he wanted to probably know more about this place. Whatever the case, the person who talked to him, Sufyan ibn Wahab, he said to him, he goes, the people buried under this mountain would be free of reckoning on the Day of Judgment. So where are they getting this knowledge from? So these are Christians. So obviously they're saying things. Do we take it on face value? We take it with a pinch of salt. But Amr he believed that. So how did he believe that? You could argue maybe Umar has told him, this is reserved for the Muslims, it's a place where the believers should be buried. And then he made a dua. He goes, oh my Lord, allow me to be buried here. If it is a place where people will not be accounted for, and it's a place for the people of paradise, please allow me to be buried here. And then subhanAllah, it mentions three of the companions were buried there. Amr ibn al-As, Abu Basr al-Ghifari, and Uqba ibn Amr at the foot of Mount Muqattam. So now what's interesting, this shows Egypt has got lots of blessings, but you need to find them. People go to the pyramids, you know, what are you doing there? What's that going to do? Find Mount Muqattam, go to the base of Mount Muqattam, see where the graveyard of the believers are, and then you go there, there's companions buried there, you know, what a great honor to be there. But why? You know, because of the reports. Why is it a place of paradise? Why is it a place where you go to paradise without reckoning? No accounts. Why this and that? And the response is, Allah Ta'ala knows best. But the companions believe this to be so. And whatever the case, you could argue maybe Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was there. Because obviously he was in Egypt for quite a while. And of course other prophets may have been there, like Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. We don't need to know. The reality is, it's a very holy place and companions are buried there. So now, why is this a great honor for Egypt? Thus indeed, how fortunate are our dear brothers and sisters in Egypt. Why? Because Abu Qurayb relates from Uthman ibn Najiyah, who relates from Abdullah ibn Muslim Abi Taiba, who relates from Abdullah ibn Buraida, who relates from his father radiallahu anhu, that our beloved messengers reported to have said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ما من أحد من أصحابي يموت بأرض إلا بؤثا قائدا ونورا لهم يوم القيامة. There is no one amongst my companions رضي الله تعالى عنه who dies in a land except that he shall then be resurrected as a guide and a light for them on the day of resurrection. Subhanallah. This is recorded in Tirmidhi, number 3865, in the chapter on virtues. But Imam Tirmidhi said it's gharib. So let's look at this. So the hadith mentions that wherever a companion is buried, where he dies and is buried, he will resurrect as a qa'ida and a nur, as a guide and a light for that people. So who will be the guides and the lights for the people of Egypt from the companions? Amr ibn al-As, Uqba ibn Amr, Abu Basr al-Ghifari, were buried there. So why did the Prophet mention that? Meaning it's an honor when my companions are buried where they are buried, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So now, is this hadith authentic? This narration is da'if due to Uthman ibn Najiyah in his chain, referred to Taqrib. So like I mentioned, if you look at the chain, Abu Qurayb relates from Uthman ibn Najiyah. He's a weak narrator. However, Imam Tirmidhi, he went on to clarify, this hadith has been related from Abdullah ibn Muslim Abi Thayba, from Ibn Buraida, from the Prophet in Mursal form. Wahada as-sahhu. This is more authentic. This is recorded in Tirmidhi, number 3685, in the chapter on virtues. So Imam Tirmidhi said, the most authentic narrative of this hadith is that it's Mursal, right? From the son of Buraida, from the Prophet. So how is that Mursal? Because Buraida radiallahu anhu is a companion. His son, Abdullah ibn Buraida, is not a companion. So Imam Tirmidhi said, the authentic hadith is from Abdullah ibn Buraida, from the Prophet. So you could argue, he must have heard it from his father, but because it's not explicitly mentioned, there's the weakness. Whatever the case, the hadith is talking about virtues and the scholars said there's no problem. So now, where is Mount Muqattam? Mount Muqattam and its surrounding hills are located in Cairo. It is venerated by both Muslims and Christians. So this is the problem. When you go there, you're going to have to mix shoulders with the Christians. And obviously we haven't got a problem, you know, that's right, it is a place to venerate, they actually, you're right, but stop committing shirk, right? So It's in old Cairo. The new Cairo is where the modern Cairo is. The old Cairo is at the base there. So should we find this strange that there's so many blessings or secrets in Egypt? The answer is no. For instance, the Almighty and Glorious, He mentions this blessed land by name. Where? When Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said to his family when they arrived, Surah Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Surah 12 verse 98, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَقَالَ ادْخُلُوا مِصْرَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ He alayhi salatu wasalam said, enter Egypt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willing, in peace. So when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was welcoming his parents, and or his stepmother as well, and his brothers, he said, enter Egypt, insha'Allah, in peace. So why would Allah Ta'ala mention that in the Quran? Meaning Egypt is a blessed place. And also, this is not the only place Egypt is mentioned. But the other times it's mentioned, some is from Fir'aun. So Fir'aun said, this land under my feet, and he mentioned in one report, Egypt belongs to me and these rivers. And also, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when the people were troubling him, he said, go to the land, go back to Egypt if you want what you want to eat. So again, it is mentioned there, but you could say they're negatives. But here, obviously, it's mentioned in place. So Egypt is mentioned with honor in the Quran. In addition, how many of the holy messengers and prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, have lived, visited, and also passed away in this most blessed land? From Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, etc. And not forgetting the statements of our beloved messenger as well, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So obviously we know prophets have been there, and the ones I've mentioned definitely have been there. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Sahih Bukhari mentions he was there. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the Quran mentions he was there. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the Quran mentions he was there. And of course his brother Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. And just to add, to finish, our beloved messenger himself, what did he say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In Hakim, Tahawi and others, Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi stated Sahih, in As-Sahiha, number 1374, Sayyidina Qa'ab ibn Malik radiyallahu alayhi, that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you conquer Egypt, then be kind to the Copts, for their owe is an obligation, and they have blood ties with us. Indeed, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam's mother was from them. So this is a Sahih hadith. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam say? Egypt will fall to you. And it soon fell. Just 10 years after the Prophet left the world, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Then he said, be kind to them, because they have blood ties. And of course, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam's mother, Bibi Hajar, was from there. And similarly, in Sahih Muslim, number 6174, Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will soon conquer Egypt. And that is a land which is known as Qirat, i.e. much wealth, or the people have a great love for the base metal. Thus, when you conquer it, treat its inhabitants well, for there lies upon you the responsibility due to blood ties, or relationship of marriage, i.e. for Sayyida Maria radiallahu anha, the mother of our beloved messenger's son, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim radiallahu anha, also hailed from Egypt. This is in Sahih Muslim number 6174. So here the Prophet mentioned marriage ties as well. And of course this proves that Maria was his wife. But some scholars say that it was what his right hand possesses. So the fact that his son has got Egyptian blood, Ibrahim, radiallahu, shows that this land has truly been honored by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So not Egypt is truly a land that Allah Ta'ala has blessed, but it's not Ash-Sham. And who had the honor of opening that blessed land? The great Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu. So all I mentioned today was a few things with regards to how Amir al-Mu'mineen could speak to the River Nile and could hear things from such a great distance, and it was explained by Imam Razi, rahmatullah, And then I mentioned a brief on the blessed base of the Muqattam Mount. And it truly is a blessed place because the companions ended up being buried there. And I mentioned a few things about the blessed land of Egypt itself. Are there any questions? Let us. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى من شاء الله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات تواصوا بالحق تواصوا بالصبر صدق الله